Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
We are talking a lot about the Supreme Court, the impact of losing Justice Scalia as one of the great voices on the United States Supreme Court. And it certainly will be felt in many decisions coming down the pipe with respect to the 5-4 decisions that Scalia has been a part of that ultimately were very critical. Now we won't have that voice. But should we be talking this much? Should the Supreme Court essentially occupy this kind of presence of power, of influence within our country? We're going to be talking about judicial supremacy and the idea of the role of the Supreme Court, both past and present, and what we can do about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com. Matt, certainly we've been talking a lot, and the nation's been talking a lot about the demise, the loss of Justice Scalia. Our condolences certainly go out to him or to his family and to all of those that were closely associated with Justice Scalia, his children, his grandchildren. But certainly it also has an impact on the future of this country and the United States Supreme Court. We could not have lost a better voice on the Supreme Court. We have other good ones that are still there, but he was a very strong advocate. The question, however, is, you know, we're talking about the importance of the U.S. Supreme Court, and it certainly is, and we need to block any nomination that President Obama puts our way until a new president, and hopefully it's a president that will nominate the right person with a Senate that will confirm the right person. So there's twofold points of action: block the nomination of Obama and elect a good president, and also keep a good Senate. Those are the two points of action. But on the other hand, the problem is the Supreme Court has gotten out of hand over the years. It should not occupy this kind of influence in our daily lives.
No, it shouldn't. And regrettably, over the last few decades, the other two branches of government, the legislative and the executive, have, and really for some inexplicable reason, Matt, they've acquiesced to this notion of judicial supremacy. And this is a dangerously dominant concept that even is accepted really in our larger society, that erroneously regards the United States Supreme Court as the final arbiter of all things public policy. You know, Thomas Jefferson and others of our founders warned against this, and part and parcel of judicial supremacy, and part of the reason it's so dangerous, is the notion of judicial activism. And rather than doing as Justice Scalia did so well, interpreting the Constitution through the eyes of the founding fathers and original intent, the Heritage Foundation defines judicial activism accordingly. It says this: judicial activism occurs when judges write subjective policy preferences into the law rather than apply the law impartially according to its original meaning. The most recent and most blaring example of blatant judicial activism was the Obergefell decision that presumed to redefine the age-old definition of marriage to include couplings of people of the same sex, something that is inherently impossible. And so that was the an example of judicial activism on display here. And so this notion of judicial supremacy, Obergefell, is just one example of why it is so dangerous.
Yeah, we have originally the Supreme Court as the weakest of the three branches of government. The Federalist Papers say that it's a weak branch, and our liberties will not be threatened from that particular area of our branches of government, because it's a weak branch. It cannot create laws like the legislature, cannot enforce laws like the executive. It can only present opinions, and it must rely upon the executive branch for the enforcement of any opinions that it issues. So it doesn't even have that kind of enforcement power. Thus, the reason why some of the early founders, when they were asked to serve on the United States Supreme Court, they didn't think it was such a great privilege to do so, because it was not something that was a significant part of our government. And in fact, up until 1935, the Supreme Court did not have a permanent location. We had the White House, we had Congress for the Senate and the House of Representatives. We had identifiable buildings for much of our history, but we didn't have a place for the U.S. Supreme Court. You could drive around Washington, D.C. in 1934 up until then and ask, where's the Supreme Court building? Well, you wouldn't find it. You'd have to go down into the basements of either the House or the Senate. From time to time, they kicked it from one place to the other, and the last place it was before it had its own permanent building, 1935, was still in a basement. It was in the basement of one of the buildings of the House or the Senate. So it wasn't thought of as a prestigious place. Then what happened is it gets its own building, 1935, and then you get a judicial activism bent in the 1950s and 60s under the Earl Warren Court, and they begin to issue these opinions. And eventually, over time, we begin to get desensitized because the executive doesn't push back and the legislative doesn't push back. And so the court gets away with a lot of things. They say a lot of things, such as they get to 1973 and they say that there's a right to an abortion, overruling all the laws of all 50 states on this issue. The legislature should have pushed back. They could have defunded. They could have impeached, but they didn't do it. The president could have said, we're not going to enforce any of those particular opinions. They are extra jurisdictional. They don't have any basis in the Constitution, but they didn't do it. And the people went along with it. So today what we have is people have become desensitized to the point where they just accept anything the Supreme Court says. I think it's time for us to push back as individuals, for the legislature on the Congress to push back with regards to impeachment, defunding, limiting jurisdiction, for the president's office to push back, not enforcing laws. I think it's also important for the state legislators and the state governors to do the same thing and for people to do the same thing. We need to call this what it is. It is raw ideology, unassociated with and not supported by the Constitution when they make such decisions, and we need to treat them accordingly as illegitimate in that respect, because we should not have this situation where we have to wait every year in June to find out with bated breath what the Supreme Court is going to hand down from its high court.
Well, yeah, and the fact that we wait with bated breath for that, just as one example of, and it displays why and how this separation of powers, the constitutional checks and balances that are inherent within the wisdom of the founding fathers is grossly out of balance here. I think the legislature for the past several decades has been derelict in its duty. Article 3, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution gives Congress the authority to check judicial activism on the Supreme Court, up to and including when justices illegitimately legislate from the bench, as they did in 1973, as they did with the Dred Scott decision, as they have done with a number of cases. Obergefell, the most recent, I believe. Article 3, Section 2 says, quote, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. Well, when is the last time that the Congress has reined in the Supreme Court and issued regulations and exceptions to take back some of their legislative authority and realign and balance the checks and balances that are so out of whack? I've never seen it exercise its authority.
No, it hasn't exercised its authority, and that's why we are where we are. And then when we don't check these outrageous opinions, and I use the word opinions, not decisions, but opinions of these justices, then they get emboldened. They know that they can say whatever they want to, and no one is going to push back. And whatever they say, then we're just going to step in line like little toy soldiers and follow them. I think time has come for us to say enough is enough, specifically with the marriage decision. That has no basis at all in the Constitution. It has nothing at all to do with the Constitution. We need to call the court for what it is when it does that, and those are illegitimate decisions, just as much as Dred Scott was an illegitimate decision. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. I also encourage you, in addition to praying for Liberty Counsel and supporting this ministry financially, going to our resources page through our online store, lots of material, educational books and booklets there. I also encourage you to be a part of The Awakening 2016. You can go to lc.org or theawakeningusa.org. Both of those get you to the same place. lc.org or theawakeningusa.org. We have over 40 speakers from around the country, national, religious, and political speakers. The presidential candidates have been invited to speak at this event as well. It is March the 5th at Faith Assembly in Orlando. We will have a panel on this judicial activism and judicial supremacy. We'll have a panel talking about the marriage issue. We'll have a panel on Planned Parenthood, ISIS, Israel, and much, much more. We'll have great plenary speakers and lots of panel discussions. Go to lc.org. We'll see you March the 5th.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.